stars live here.
Are you ready?
On air. Online. On your smart speaker and wherever you stream. Broadcasting from Montreal and around the world.
The Jeremy White Show, available wherever you stream.
Catch up on past interviews and episodes on demand now.
Subscribe so you don't miss any of it.
Jeremy!
Yo, Dean, how the hell are you?
I'm good, my brother. How are you, man?
What's going on, brother? Oh, man, long time no see. It's good to see you.
You too, my friend. How's your day? Good?
You know what? I got to tell you. We almost didn't make this because I just wrapped up at the gym, and you know, what normally is like a 20-minute commute to get home, dude, it was like an accident or something. It took like 55 minutes. I literally just walked into the studio before you joined in.
Perfect timing. I just finished with Matt Wardlaw from Ultimate Classic Rock, and he goes, you have another one? I said, yes, at 4:30. So we're good, bro. We both made it.
And look, Matt's a good buddy. Good. So it's, you know, even if you went late with him, it would have worked out.
Awesome. Yeah, he's a good man, dude. He's a good man.
I love it.
Awesome.
Let's get right into this. Our next guest, I mean, one of our favorite drummers on the show, Revolution Saints, brand new record is out now. You can pick it up wherever you get your music. And, of course, we'll talk about the lineup and just, like, the songs and fantastic. Of course, going on tour with Journey alongside Def Leppard, doing a bunch of stadiums this summer. We'll talk all about that. Welcome back to the show, the one and only Dean Cascianovo. How's it going?
Brother Jim, it's good, Jeremy. How are you, my brother?
You know, I was just talking about the gym, and just from your personal perspective, I mean, being a drummer and as physical as it is it difficult to keep your body in shape and avoid the wear and tear of the road and stuff? Like, what do you go through on a daily basis?
Well, dude, I got to be honest, man. I've had two back surgeries. I've had a neck surgery. I've had a full hip replacement on my right side. I mean, I don't just sit there and play. You know how I play. I dig in. So I'm paying the price for it now. You know, I'll be 60 this year. So I am feeling it, bro. But, you know, for me, it's, you know, I got a great wife at home that makes sure that I eat right. I take tons of vitamins. I got to do my vitamins. Glucosamine, stuff like that for the joints and stuff.
Right.
Stuff, you know, I'm just getting older. And also, you know, my drug and alcohol use didn't help back in the day. You know, that depletes a lot of your bone density and stuff like that. So, you know, I've had to pay the price for that stupidity. But here I am doing great, 8 years, doing well. Life is good. And, you know, I just eat right and sleep. And you know, I have to take old man naps now. The OLMs, old man nap, OMLs, yeah. I have to do them every day around, right after sound check, around 5 o'clock to about 7. I get a little burn. I'm like, okay, old man nap time, guys. So I'm putting in the headphones. Crash out and then, you know, get ready for the show. So I'm at that age.
You know what? Look, I got to be honest with you. You're talking about all of this stuff. Like, I'm going to be 30 this year, and everything you're saying, it sounds like me.
You know, dude, my father said, just before I hit 40, he goes, son, when you hit 40, you're going to know it. And I'm like, oh, Papa, we're on the tour bus. And I had just turned 40. It was maybe 2 weeks in, and I got up like, oh, damn, Dad was right. Oh, man, everything ached. It was like, oh, man.
Yeah.
So thank God we're on a private jet now. We're not killing ourselves. But, yeah, man, I mean, I can't play a show halfway. I've never done anything halfway. I mean, everything. And that's, you know, drinking and partying back in the day. I mean, I'm going to go out there like it's my last show. And I'm going to play the best I can. And if things ache, I'll feel it the next morning. Because you don't feel it when you're on stage. I'm not feeling anything. But
the
morning,
adrenaline's pumping and you're in it, you know.
Yeah. You feel nothing, dude. But the next morning, it's like, yeah, this morning, this is our second day off, and I'm feeling it from 2 days ago. Like, oh, man, yeah, everything a little sore. Thank goodness for bath salts, you know, Epsom salts in a bathtub, man.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't trade it for anything, man. I'm, you know, and now that I'm healthy and I'm doing the right things you know, not poisoning my body with a bunch of crap, you know, it does really make a huge difference.
Well, it's interesting you say that, though. I mean, like, talking about the, you know, like the drinking and the partying and stuff, I mean, like, do you think that really had like a real physical effect on your body? I mean, like, performance wise?
It does,
like,
bro.
Like, doing too much blow and, like, you know, I guess it does get to your bones and shit, right?
It does, bro. Yeah. It depletes your calcium. I mean, I learned that in treatment. You know, it's like, it, you know, you may not feel it, you know, in, you know, after you do it or maybe a year down the road, but you know what? I've been 8 years now off of that stuff. And, I'm paying a price. I mean, you know, my other family members, they never did this stuff and their bones are fine. You know, mine's just, you know, but also I'm playing too. I'm doing a physical job. So I got to take that into consideration. But still, had I been taking care of myself, there's guys that are, you know, 65, you know, 70, Steve Smith didn't do drugs, drink at all. And that guy's in top form. You know, he's not dealing with that kind of crap. So, you know, it's just, you know, playing in metal, you know, and then, you know, doing the stupid stuff that I pulled. But now, you know, it's just a part of life. It's a part of getting older. I don't mind it, man. If there's some aches and pains, look at it this way. I should be dead. Yeah. I mean, with all the crap I was putting in my body, that would have killed a rhino. So I'm just grateful to be alive. I get to do what I love to do. They pay me to do it, which is amazing. I get to see the world, you know. And I love Journey's music, man. I mean, out of all the bands I'd ever want to be in, this is the band I dreamed of as a kid. It was this or Kiss.
Yeah.
And I look like crap in spandex, so this was my only option, man.
You and me both, bro, I'll tell you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, spandex is not my friend.
Talk a little bit about the Revolution stage stuff. Of course, the record's out now. You got Jeff Pilson, Joel Hoekstra's in on this one. Of course, there's been a lot of different lineup changes. I mean, would you like to see this as a band at some point, do some shows, like take it to the next level, or is it just like records for you?
No, you know, we've done records, and that was the biggest thing with Jack and Doug is we wanted to play live, but we didn't have the time.
Yeah.
You know, the schedules never permit. Jack was always out with Night Ranger. God bless him. I mean, that's his baby. You don't expect him to leave that. You know, Doug has the Dead Daisies. It just never worked out. And now that I'm back in Journey, here we go again. I'm out until November with Journey this year. And I would imagine next year as well. You know, Joel's got Whitesnake, and he's got, you know, his other projects, you know, Trans-Siberian and his solo stuff. Mm-hmm. And then Jeff with Foreigner. I think he's doing their farewell tour the next couple of years. So it's not going to happen right away, but I'm going to make damn sure we do something, bro, because I will regret not trying it. You know, right. If I don't at least give it a shot, I'm going to do it as a front man. And I've never done that, and I'm scared to death to do it. But I figure if I don't challenge myself, I'll never know, you know, if it was good. I mean, if I suck, if I go out there and I suck, at least I said, you know what? I gave it my best. Gave it a shot. I'm terrible at it. I'll stick to my day job.
Right.
I'll just play drums.
No, totally.
I'm fine with that. I can do that all day long. Front man thing, we're going to have to see, you know, but I want to do shows. Jeff and Joel definitely want to play. So, you know, God willing, we'll see what happens, man. But obviously, Journey's my priority. I am loyal to Neil and John and Arnell, and I'll do whatever they ask me to do.
So would you get off behind the kid and, like, you know, get somebody to fill in and, like, you'd actually front man it?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, I'm going to try it. Yeah. I'm going to try it.
Dude, we got to get you, like, the Steven Tyler mic stand with the scarves, like, you know?
Yes. Because, you know, the problem is, and I've done this in interviews, I look like Ricky Bobby, man. Right now, if you look at the videos, I'm doing this. Because I play drums. Yeah. I'm, this is what I do.
So you're like a twirling stick or...
Yes, it's like, and people are like, I remember, this is sweet as hell. I sent the first video I did as a frontman to Paul Stanley, who's I love him to death. He's always so kind and
yep.
gracious when I send
Isn't
stuff.
Isn't he the greatest?
And I said, oh, dude, he's the best frontman on the planet, bar none, still to this day, no one touches him. I don't care who you are. He was the best. He still is the best.
Not even David Lee Roth? Come on, that's a tight contest.
No, you know what? Because Paul could sing. I mean, David's good, but David screamed, and he was a good entertainer. But he was, you know, and he was a good frontman. But you know what? Paul had everything. He played guitar. He sang his ass off, and he entertained, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, you watch him run around in those boots. I'm sorry. I put those boots on. I can't run around in those damn things.
Yeah.
So he's a god to me. So he said, you know what, Dean? You need a mic stand. You're singing with such power. You need to hold a mic stand. You need to have something in your hand.
Yeah.
That's right. You know, so on this last video we did, I had a mic stand, and I didn't know what to do with that. I'm
right.
like, ah!
Next thing you know, you're paddling with it. You're like stabbing the camera.
I couldn't lift it up because it had that weight on it, and I have no arm strength. So I'm like, yeah, that's not going to work. Yeah. So I'm going to give it a shot, dude. When the time's right, I'll give it a shot, and I'll be scared to death. But I got to challenge myself and say, you know what? I gave it a shot. And yeah. if it does work out and I do pretty good, I mean, you know what Paul Stanley should do is teach people how to be a front man with their, you know, like look at their personality and go, you know what? You'd be good doing this. He'd be great at it, man.
He does like a DVD YouTube series about how did Paul Stanley from Kiss? I'm going to teach you how to be a front man
how
here.
How to be a real rock star. No,
how to be a rock star. The Star Child School of Rock.
He would be good at it, man. Make a killing too.
Yeah.
No, he was the best to me. I mean, you know, there's great singers and there's great front men, but there's just not a lot of great singer front men. You know what I mean?
No,
and that's what Paul had. He was great.
Yeah, I completely agree. Talk a little bit about drums. Last time I saw you, Neil invited me out to the show in Ottawa and took such great care of me and a buddy of mine. And, like, man, it was such a great show. We sat in front of house and, like, it sounded great. Your drum kit was incredibly intriguing to me because I'm a drummer as well. I'm a guitarist. I'm a musician.
Awesome, bro.
So DW kit up there, mic'd up, But do you have like trigger pads on instead of skins? What's the deal with that?
Yeah, bro. And I'm just going to be dead honest. I hate it. I'm a purist. And a lot of it has to do with I play too damn loud. I'm a loud player. I've never been able to just sit and do this.
Right.
You know, I'm in there digging. And that's because I get into the music. I'm feeling it. And I want to, you know, the band needs a Ferrari engine in the back of that thing. And
absolutely.
Steve Smith was a Lamborghini, man. So I'm the Ferrari. You know what I mean? It's I just feel like I can't just sit there and just do this. I got to dig
in. Yes, but the music also calls for that.
It does, bro. Especially when you're playing arenas and stadiums, you've got to dig in. But it was just too loud. It was draining Arnell's vocal cords. I mean, because he's having to sing over that. Mm-hmm. And that means, and he turns his mic is not, you know, he doesn't sing with a lot of power. He doesn't blaze it really hard because he's got to sing every night. So he sings the best way he can, but that mic's up a little louder and it bleeds right through. So what we ended up doing was putting V drums.
Right.
The actual guts. We take the V drums guts out and put them in the DW drums and then pad them all up with foam and stuff. So you couldn't hear anything. I mean, it sounded like this.
So it's just
every
dead.
Drum just sounded like that. Yeah, completely dead. Mm. The problem with that was for me was there was an issue with latency. You'd hit it and go, it wasn't transmitting right, you know, in real time. You'd have a little latency and it sounded sloppy to me and it drove me insane. Because I'm playing like this, it's going,
yeah. Plus, you guys look. Let's be like, you're also playing the tracks. You got a click going. Yeah. There's everything needs to be tight, or else you're gonna hear it.
Yeah, yeah, dude. Now, right now, what we decided to do, and Tom, our sound man, is amazing. Sound man, Tom Wood is unbelievable. He was a Shawn Mendes forever. And what we're doing is we got the toms, but we're just putting trigger, you know, the little trigger things on,
like
them
D drum triggers, or
yep. Yep, they're rolling triggers. They got new triggers that they're put out. So we're using those, and I'm still. It's for consistency, and I get Tom's outlook on that. It's like, you know what, they're consistent every night. You know, we don't have to mess with them to get the sounds. You know,
yeah.
But it's hard for me, man, because I'm pierced, and DW makes the greatest drums on the planet. Well,
did you
man.
See the
I
mean, new ones they came out with? Their new electronic drums. Oh my god.
And we're talking about doing something like that. But again, they only make certain sizes.
Yeah.
You got I think a 10, a 12. 13 and a 16, I think, or only the 14 and 16. Those are the only sizes they have. So, but I've got a big kit, so we can't really do it.
Yeah, and you can't just have a little jazz kit. I mean, like, it doesn't look good on a stadium stage. Like,
it doesn't look good. I'm not a jazz drummer. So, yeah, it's got to look good. But so we're not doing that, but we do have triggers on the drums. And it sounds good, but again, I'm a purist, man.
Right.
And before, I used to play a lot harder. I'm not playing as hard as I used to. And a lot of that is just because I've grown as a player, and getting sober helped a lot, dude. Because I had a lot of, you know, pent up, you know, aggression playing and doing that stuff. Now I'm more relaxed and I'm just playing for the song. And I'm not killing it. I still kill it. I'm still louder than most drummers, but I'm not like I used to be, where I would play through the drum instead of pulling the sound out.
Yeah.
So I've grown that way, but it's just too loud. And Neil has a hard time. I mean, he has a hard time hearing kick and snare, and that is his thing. So having the trigger, that point, you're hearing that,
right?
Even if it's not real loud, you're still hearing that.
You're still getting the attack.
Yes, and that's what he needs. So we're doing that for him, and it's working out. It's good. But again, I will never be. It's like playing an acoustic guitar to an electric guitar. It's like, really, man? You want to play acoustic? Yeah, it's all plugged in. It's got amps, but it ain't an electric guitar.
No, it's not organic. I mean, yeah. But you know what? It's funny you talk about the triggers and stuff, because it's like at that point you're able to, you can literally get any sound you want out of those drums because you're playing a pre-recorded sound. And I was surprised at that show, because I was like, okay, they're triggered, but how come the toms and the snare, that doesn't sound like cannonball snare drum or explosion toms, like. Yeah, I was expecting like big arena toms, but you did have a sort of a organic kind of sounding kit. So it's almost like both worlds in a way.
Yeah, we had some really good samples. I think they were Slate. Slate samples. And it was either that or I'm not positive, bro, because it was 2014. So and my memory's kind of shot. But I believe it was samples that we got off of the Escape album.
Oh, okay.
We got the actual samples of Steve's drums off the Escape record and put them on, you know, the discs and put it in. So we got Smith's drums going through my kit. It just didn't feel very good. I didn't, you know, and you got to have a little bit of, you know, pullback on the head. And it was just, you know, it was like hitting, you know, cardboard. Just didn't have a lot of give.
No, so, it sounds like you're hitting a wet phone book.
Exactly, bro. Exactly. Or putting a piece of like a rag over the top.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's really inspiring.
No life to it. Like, you know, and especially like, look, you play with like massive bands like Def Leppard and Rick Allen's, but like the Hysteria snare. I mean, like, come on, that's cannonball snare drum. You don't get bigger than that.
His sound is unbelievable. I remember touring with him in 2006, and I couldn't play his drum kit. I sat down. I was like, Rick, I cannot do this. Yeah. I don't know how, in God's name, you have pulled this off, but kudos to you, man. Because it's not easy. And, you know, I'm used to that, and it's like, and he's in time, and it's perfect. I was trying. I was all out of time. I was like,
yeah. And you're trying to do perfect. The back and forth. It's like,
cannot do it, bro. Cannot do it. It would have taken me weeks to figure that out. So I just, man, you do your thing. I'll do mine. It was great. But, yeah, very cool.
Do you guys see maybe like a Def Leppard Journey collab, like maybe like getting together on stage and jamming at some point in the summertime of this tour? Or?
I would love it, dude, because I think, you know, I think Phil is an amazing guitarist and Viv.
Good friend of the show, Phil Collins.
Unbelievable.
And
then have Joe come out and sing. It would be great. I mean, I would love that. I would love it, you know, and roll Rick's kid out. I mean, yeah, it would be awesome. Are you kidding? It'd make us look great. And, you know, I think it'd be a lot of fun, but, you know, I don't know. We'll have to see. I mean, stadiums are difficult. They're different. They're a different animal than an arena, definitely. And I think that's one of the reasons we're doing the triggers, too, is when you get out in venues like that, it's going to be hard to control the sound. And you want it to be pristine for the audience, you know. So I think having triggers for drums is going to be a lot less of a hassle for our sound man so he can work on other stuff, vocals, you know, guitars, keys, all that stuff. So long as you don't have the drums.
I was just going to say, it's like with the price of concert tickets these days, I mean, I think the expectation is that it's got to be the perfect show, you know.
It does. And I don't know if Motley Crue was doing that whole, you know, playing to track. I don't know, bro. I've seen the videos and I don't know. I can't see Tommy doing that. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, Tommy's a monster drummer. He definitely doesn't need that. I can't see them doing it. I don't know though, bro. You know, for those kind of stadiums, you got to sound amazing. And I think that's, you know, that's half the battle is getting some of the stuff that can be a nuisance, like drums. And, you know, the drums are, you know, they're bleeding through everything. And that's just going to make everything sound muddy. And so, you got to kind of compensate. It's a give and take. And so I don't mind putting triggers up. Yeah, if it's making the guitars and keys and vocals sound great, trigger them up, dude. Fine with me.
You got the portion of the population. You're going to have Eddie Trunk saying, it's not real live rock and roll, blah, tracks, bullshit. But then you also got Karen who's going to be moaning, it didn't sound like the album when I went, you know?
And they want to, bro. And the beauty of this, of Journey, is everybody in the band actually sings. So, you know, there are some stuff. We got some backing stuff a little bit just to thicken it up. But every one of us is singing, man. And that is a big part of Journey sound, and we got to have that sound.
Yeah.
So, you know, if the vocals aren't translating, then, you know, we're going to have an issue, you know? And so if the drums are making the vocals not translate, give me triggers. Yep. I want the fans to hear, you know, Only the Young, lush as it is, you know?
Look, the show is the boss, right? If the show calls for it, that's what wins.
You give the fans what they want, bro. They're paying a lot of money. The least we can do is make it sound as great as we can.
Yeah.
You know?
Hey, so have Neil and Jonathan, like, sorted out their beef and shit? Because it's like, I see them in pictures hugging and all brotherly. Like, is everything all good now? Like, everything's kosher?
Perfect now, bro. You know, it was cool. I think it was the wives. I think it was Mikkel and Paula, John's wife, just said, you guys, enough.
Yeah.
Sit down. Communicate. Enough of this back and forth stuff through attorneys and all that. Sit down and talk. And they did. And the great thing is we brought Paula on to help with she's a business genius. She's just financial savvy, man. Smart. So we got her involved in it. And we got Mikkel, who's got the gift of gab. And, you know, she can sell, ketchup to, you know, what is it? Ketchup to Eskimos? Ketchup popsicles to Eskimos? I mean, she's just great at it. So we've got both of those girls in there, and Neil and John can just do what they do best, and that is play.
Yeah.
And they mended the fences. We're on one jet instead of two now. Everybody's getting along great, and you can see it in the performances, man. It's not a fake smile like, yeah, I hate that guy. It's real. And I'm telling you, the sight of God, it's real, and we're all getting along great, and it's a brotherhood again. It's like I remembered it before I got fired. It was just tight and everybody was tight. And then, you know, things get in the way, man. But we're brothers. Brothers are going to fight, man.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of a brotherhood. You know, you're going to have differences, but you can come together. And thank God this year they came together and said, enough of this. Let's go like we used to be, all for one and one for all. Let's go out and do what we got to do. And it's been wonderful. It really has been great.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. And you know what? It must feel good going to work and like not dreading going to work now. It's like, oh God, I can't walk by that guy's dressing room. I don't have that pass. Like,
and it was, dude, it was like that. You know, it was like everybody was separate. And, you know, me being, I've never been able to separate the business from the family. And that's probably my biggest weakness is when I'm creating with somebody, you know, it's a spiritual connection. It really is. And when you have that, it's a beautiful thing. And when it goes away, it, you know, the music suffers. It really does. Yeah. You can tell. And it was hard for me to see guys that I've been with since 1989, not talking. Mm-hmm. And it used to drive me insane. And I remember one time I said to both of them, I said, guys, you don't know what it's like to lose it all. I lost it all.
Yeah.
God, it's horrible.
And having gone into treatment and, you know, dealt with your resentments and dealt with all the stuff that comes along with that, it's like life's way too short to have all this pent up bullshit with somebody. And it's like, you know, what's the point of it?
And those guys have been together for 45 years, 40 years, something like that. That's a long time to, you know, to have some petty arguments, but they worked it out, man. And it's great. And we're firing all cylinders again, bro. I mean, the band is tight as ever, and it's fun. It's fun to be on the road again instead of, oh, God, I hope I don't say anything that's going to hurt somebody or it's going to piss somebody off. Or, you know, it was really rough.
Yeah.
But it's great now. It's great. But that happens in bands. And sadly, 90% of the time, it doesn't work out and they break up. Thank God it didn't with us.
Yeah.
You know? Thank God.
And you're still going and you're going to have one of the biggest tours of 2024. I mean, come on. It's great that it worked out.
Yeah, cannot complain, dude. And I think they realize that. It's like, this is bigger than all of this.
Yeah.
The music is bigger. The band is bigger than our petty differences. Let's fix the stuff. Let's talk it out. And they did. They talked it out. Things are amazing now.
Yeah. I want to talk a little bit about about solos in the show. Because, I mean, like, you know, I just saw Kiss a couple of times on the end of the road. And, you know, every time, listen, I'm a huge Eric Singer fan. But, like, the drum solo, a little too long. Like, Tommy shooting the rockets, and it's great. But, like, you think about it, it's like, in that time frame, they could have played Come On and Love Me and Parasite and Room Service. You know, it's like,
but for me, dude, I'm an Eric Singer fan, so I loved it.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. But it's like, you know, some fans will complain, oh, you know, they could have played two or three extra songs, but Neil's on stage, you know, wanking off with the guitar solo again or Dean's drumming. It's like, dude, where do you find a way to find maybe like meet in the middle in a sense? Like, you know, do you think that the solos are still important in this day and age?
I think for Neil it is, man, because that's his expression. Journey has always been, you know, he's the guitarist in Journey. You know, and he spreads his wings as much as he can, but on his solo, man, it's a very colorful solo.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about it. It's not just, you know,
right.
He's doing like soft stuff and picking and then old blues standard stuff. He's so prolific and he's got such a wide range style. I mean, he can play anything.
Yeah.
So I love that he gets to spread his wings and open up and show different colors of him instead of just, I'm the guitarist in Journey. I'm playing melodic solos for the song.
Right.
For a drum solo? Nah, I hate him. For me, Smith, on the Smith drum solos are works of art. That's a different thing.
He puts on a clinic.
A master. Yeah. And it's fun as a drummer to watch. You go, damn, I can't do that. You know, but for me, man, I'm not giving any new info. I'm not showing anything that anybody else has not done. So for me, it's a waste of time. I mean, do a guitar solo, do a keyboard solo because John shows his colors as well.
Yep.
But you know what? Put a song in instead, you know, because I'm just going to, you know, people are going to go get a t-shirt, which is good too.
Yeah.
But, you know, get a t-shirt. Mine would just be wasting time.
Well, that's what I was thinking. I was like, it'd be different if it was Ace with the smoking guitar, but Tommy shooting rockets out of his head. So I'm like, they could have played two-timer. Like, you know?
Oh, dude, the greatest old stuff I know, bro. Kissing Time. Oh, my God.
Yes, exactly. Ladies' Room, ever, you know?
Yeah. Oh, dude, I love that song.
That's what great I mean.
I'm with you.
Look, Revolution Saints, new records available now. River Get Your Music. It's fantastic. Just Joel Hoekstra is just killing on the record. Jeff Pilson, man. Great guys, great musicians. The lineup is fantastic. Maybe we'll get some shows at some point with a mic stand.
Yeah. Definitely, bro. Definitely. Can you still see me? Good, right?
Yeah, I can see you. Good. Yeah, we're good.
I had somebody calling in, and yeah, I didn't.
Oh, no worries. No worries. We're going to wrap up anyway. Journey going on tour this summer with Def Leppard, some select tour dates with Steve Miller Band, Heart, and Cheap Trick on the bill as well. Just fantastic lineup. This is going to be the rock tour of summer 2024. Like, I can hear it now. Def Leppard, Journey, summer of tour 2022, you know, like the whole thing.
It's going to be great. Oh, dude, I'm excited. Again, stadiums. I haven't played stadiums since 96 or 97 with a guy named Vasco Rossi in Italy. And we were doing like San Siro, 100,000 seats, three nights in a row. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is my first stadium tour journey. It's going to be epic. Well, just unbelievable.
I'm gonna have to come down and check out that drum kit of yours, because that's I need to see this up close.
Well, dude, if you got back last time, come back and I'll show it to you. Yeah. Man. It's a new 50th anniversary kit. It's gorgeous, bro. It's all like gold leaf. Ooh. Gorgeous kit. DW pulled out all the stops on this, man.
Awesome. And I hope our friend Mitch LaFon's feeling better. I'll drag him to the show with me.
Oh, definitely, man. Give him my best. I love Mitch. He's a brother for life. I love him.
Yep. He's the man. All right, Dean. Yeah. Well, thanks a lot for chatting. Appreciate it. We'll keep in touch. This was fantastic.
Thank you, brother. You take care, and I'll see you when we get up there, man.
The Jeremy White Show.
Get exclusive interviews and bonus content on demand now. Visit youtube.com/Jeremy White Show.